In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, Jesus tells us, "Be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. Where do you go to think about God? When we think about God, we receive God's perfect peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's an important memory verse. I encourage you to put that to memory. The question remains, where do you go to think about God? Hearing God's word read, hearing the hymns of the church played and sung, hearing prayers prayed, even putting something in the offering helps us to think about God. I remember thinking about a little boy where I used to go to church. When the offering plate came through, he used to put a little piece of candy in the offering plate. Kids do things like that. Children love to find special places where they can go and just sit and think. Can you remember back a couple of years to when you were little? Do you remember sitting under the kitchen table? Kids love to crawl under the kitchen table. It's something kids do. They love to find a special place just for them where they can sit and think. A lady I know told me that she remembers crawling under the bed. She said her mother had her take her naps under the bed because on hot days, the linoleum stayed cool under the bed. Kids find places like that to go and think about God. Sometimes that favorite place can be a special tree beside a stream, sitting on the back porch steps, maybe laying on the hay in the barn, or imagining all of those places in our mind. Sometimes kids like to sit with their dog, and when they can finally get the dog to sit still, they can pet their dog and think about God. Sitting and thinking about God, though, is not just for kids. Grown-ups can find God's perfect peace when we remember to think about God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." It's important to think about God. Jesus was not the only person in the Bible who thought about God all the time. Many people in the Bible thought about God all the time. Their great deeds were their prayers, which came from thinking about God all the time. Peter, Andrew, James and John, the Apostle Paul, Philip, Stephen was the first martyr. They all thought about God all the time. Many people in the Old Testament thought about God all the time too. Thinking about God all the time is the first sign that God has set us apart for himself. Thinking about God all the time is the first step that we take in becoming holy, which means set apart for God's use and God's purposes. This is Ash Wednesday. You have probably come here this evening to think about God. Lent is that time specifically set aside by the church for us to gather and reflect on our lives before God and to repent of our sins. Christians, Christ followers, recognize the fact that sin is a reality in our daily lives. We also recognize the fact that repentance for those sins needs to be a reality in our daily lives as well. Sin is anything that we think, say, or do that is displeasing to God. Sin is what we do when we put our desires and goals ahead of God's. Repentance, however, is when we recognize the sin and are sorry for it, ask God to help us get back in line with his desires and goals, and repentance is how we deal with sin. We don't just ignore sin and hope it goes away. Sin is anything that we think, say, and do that is against God, and repentance is how we take action against the sin. We're at the beginning of Lent. Lent is considered a time for sacrifice. And many people will give something up for Lent in order to prove that we are sincerely repentant before God. But the truth is, most of us who give up something for Lent aren't really making a sacrifice so much as we are taking advantage of the opportunity to stop doing something we should have stopped already. Like stop eating so much chocolate or start exercising. Lent is supposed to be a solemn time. Lent is supposed to be a time to focus on Jesus and a time to be aware of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. Jesus' death was a sacrifice. The sinless Son of God gave up more than chocolate or a bad habit. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus gave up his sinless life in order to offer us a new life. Jesus died. Jesus died and then he rose again so that we can receive eternal life. So remembering the price of our salvation is what Lent is all about. Lent is also about preparing our hearts for God. Preparing our hearts for God happens when we reflect on our lives, when we recognize and confess those sins to God, when we ask God to forgive us and help us get back on track with him. The prophet Joel told the Jews how to prepare their hearts for the coming day of the Lord. He told them, turn back to God. Turn back to God with their whole hearts. not just when it's convenient, not just when it's in a crisis. For us, we need to turn back to God with our whole hearts. For us, the day of the Lord has already come. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is with us. So our task as Christ followers, not just during Lent, but every day, is to prepare our hearts. Preparing our hearts starts when we ask Jesus to forgive us so that he can enter into our hearts and stay there in his rightful place as Lord. Preparing our hearts is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing practice as we strive to live obediently before God each day. And the only way we can do it is to ask Jesus to help us to keep our hearts clean. Not just during Lent or for a few days of ambitious positive thinking. The kingdom of God is within you. It's like a garden. It's up to each of us to keep it free of weeds. So any time that we sense or see a seed of sin or a weed of rebellion, we need to pull it out by the root and we need to ask Jesus to clean our hearts anew. Jesus will instantly renew our hearts and our spirits as we pray and stay close to him. The road to knowing that God is always close beside you starts with thinking about God all the time. We are already in God's thoughts. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." The Lord will never forsake you. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Jesus will be close beside you even as you breathe your last breath. Then God will be very close beside you. Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." God is already thinking about you. God is so very close to you. God commands a complete and daily wholehearted relationship with him. God's grace and God's Holy Spirit helps us to live day by day in that wholehearted relationship with Jesus. God promises to renew our spirits as we pray and as we stay close to him. The faith that God gives us, the faith that God imparts to the sinner for salvation, living as a fully devoted follower of Jesus, no matter what, that faith is solely and completely the result of God's mercy and grace. Faith is a gift from God. We do not pray for faith. We seek the Lord, and the faith will come. Seek the Lord. Don't ignore him. Pray about everything. When you feel sorry for someone who's in a tough spot, pray for them. When you're angry at someone, don't cuss at them. Pray for them. God brought them to your attention for a reason. If you need something, Tell God before going and asking somebody else for it. God may direct you to someone who can provide for it, or God may just provide for it himself. You may not need to ask anyone else for it. Pray about everything and seek the Lord. Pray when you're frustrated. Pray when you're bored. Pray for God to protect you when you get into the car, and pray together before you start out on that next trip. Ask God to help you to remember everything before you start on that trip. Ask God to help you to remember where you've misplaced your keys or your old tennis shoes. Get used to going straight to the top. Get used to seeking the Lord. God's people are a people of prayer. But if we don't pray, then we're not seeking the Lord. If we don't pray, we don't have enough faith. Did you hear how the prophet Joel described God? Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Those are not the words of an ogre or someone to avoid. Those words describe the Lord Jesus. Jesus is saying those words to us tonight. Repent. Prepare your hearts. Talk to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you so that he can enter into your heart and your life. Jesus is not nearly so concerned about your past as he is about your future. What we have to fear from God is the consequence of hiding from him in disobedience. It's Ash Wednesday. Here we are at the beginning of Lent. It's time for us to turn back to God. It's time for us to fast. It's time for us to weep over the condition of our lives and the state of our souls. It's time to be sincere in our desire to change and to humbly ask our gracious and merciful God to help us to be wholehearted in our walk with him. Daily devotions is a nice place to start. In the midst of your preparation, be very grateful that God is with you to help you. God is with you. You are not alone. Be assured that God is loving and slow to anger, and God only wants the best for you. I'll conclude with the words from Joel chapter 2, verse 14. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. God may give you that miracle that you have been seeking. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for thinking about us. The more we think about you, the more we realize how much you think about us. The more we care about others, the more we realize how much you care about us and in how many ways you care about us. Lord, you made plans for each day of our lives before we were ever born. You stay close to us all the days of our lives, for nothing can separate us from your love. Even that moment when we take our last breath is precious in your eyes. Bless us, dear Father, to think about you every moment of every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your promise of when two or three are gathered in your name, you will be here in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in this very room with us to comfort and encourage us today. Amen.